the sermon this morning. Hopefully last week, if you were here, you had a chance to hear about our opportunities we have with Cambodia. If you're new or haven't heard yet, we have a partnership with the Alliance Missionaries in Cambodia. We really value as a church seeing all peoples of all nations all over the world coming to know Jesus Christ as their own Lord and Savior. And obviously not all of us in this room can go all over the world. And so one of the ways that we are endeavoring to partner to see that become a reality is to partner with other missionaries in the Alliance and join with them and pray with them and support them in various capacities. If you're in small groups, some of you will, most of you have probably adopted a missionary or two to pray with and pray for. And so this October, we're actually going to take a mission trip there. We had an interest meeting last week, and if you missed that meeting or if you're interested in going to Cambodia in October, just shoot me an email. My email's in the back of that, or just come talk to me. It's not too late to begin that conversation, so if that's interesting, we would love for you to know about that. Also, we really have an exciting opportunity to join the work that is going on. May 19th, so next week, we're going to be taking up a special offering for the Urban Ministry Training Center, or as we say, the UMTC. What's really cool about this is, if you haven't heard yet, what's going on is there are some churches in Cambodia, but most of the churches that are there, if not all of them, are pastored by pastors that are 60 plus. There's nothing wrong with that. Those are great pastors. They've done great ministry. But what that means is there's kind of a critical situation where there isn't young leaders poised to take the reins from the older generation. They haven't been equipped. They haven't been taught. They don't know what's going on. And unfortunately, there hasn't been a lot of places for the young leaders to get trained in how to do that. And so that's where this Urban Ministry Training Center comes in, is they're doing a fabulous and amazing job at equipping and training the next generation to do ministry and to reach out to people and to share Jesus with people. And so it's really one of the only places in the country where the next generation is getting raised up. And so there's still a significant amount of money that they need by August to finish their building. And I literally just heard from the missionaries there that if they can't finish the building, then some of our missionaries who are the teachers there will just live in the building that is unfinished in hammocks, and they are not kidding. So if whatever you can do, whatever we can do to help see this building get completed would be wonderful. And when I tell people this, what I'm asking you to do is not just say, okay, I'll give $5 or $50 or $500. What I'm asking you to do is I want you to pray and ask the Lord, what is it you want me to invest in this ministry so that other people can be equipped to share the gospel with people who will never hear it otherwise? And so again, the focus here is for this next week, pray, ask the Lord, what do you want me to give? And then whatever that amount is, invest that, give that, so that other people will come to know Jesus. We'll be taking up this offering specifically next week at church. You can write a check and you can just put in the memo UMTC. You can also do it online through the PayPal link that we have and put in the memo UMTC. And if for some reason you're not here next week or it's not a good week, we will be allowing kind of offerings to come in through June 2nd. But again, please just be praying with us about what it is that the Lord is asking you to give, and then follow him in obedience in that capacity. As my mic keeps falling down. There you go. All right. So anyway, so that is what is happening for the Urban Ministry Training Center, and we just would love for you to join us in that capacity. Let's just pray for a moment. God, we just thank you and praise you that you are a wonderful God. We thank you for all that you do. We thank you that you have given us so much in our lives. I just ask that you would be upon us now, that we just give you all the concerns and issues of the day and the thoughts and hecticness of our lives, and we just say that we lay ourselves down at your feet. We give you all of who we are, and we say that we want to hear from you, that we are here this morning to encounter you, And so we don't try to ignore our problems. We just lay them at your feet and say, here we are, exactly as we are. Would you speak to us this morning? Would your Spirit intercede on our behalf? Would you get past our own busyness and defenses? And would you reveal your word to us in a way that we need to hear it? Would we leave differently this morning because of your work in our lives? In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. I am by no means a like neat freak or like clean person or germaphobe or anything like that, but I do like to go to bed clean. So I usually take a shower at night because I'm lying in bed, and if I don't take a shower at night, even when I haven't really done much, it's like I lay there and I can kind of feel like I'm dirty. Like I just kind of feel it, and then I don't usually sleep very well. And one time when I was a kid, my family and I, we were in Croatia and we were at a camp. We lived in Bosnia, so it's not like crazy that we were in Croatia. So my parents were missionaries. But we were in Croatia and we were at this camp and it was on the beach, which was kind of fun. But, you know, at the beach, you put on sunscreen and stuff and you go swimming and you get sand stuck on you and all that kind of stuff and you get all really, really dirty. So you think, you know, I was like, all right, you know, that's fine because at the night I'm going to take a shower and everything's going to be fine. And then we went to see our accommodations for the week of, like, where we would be sleeping. And this was, like, a camp setting. And I thought, yeah, you know, it's fine. We have a tent or whatever. And then I came up to this, what was basically a very small teepee for five people. And my dad is, like, 6'2". So this was a very small teepee. And once you got into the teepee, there really wasn't room even to crawl so much. You kind of just had to sort of, I don't know, shimmy in there somehow and you'd be there. And so we're all dirty, we've all been filthy and stuff, and you're on the ground. And then, of course, as the middle child, I wound up like at the entrance of the tent somehow as my place to sleep. And so I remember the first night I like took a shower like normal before bed, and then I went to lie down and realized I was like in the midst of the grime and the dirt and the like basically filth that we had tracked around all day. And I just laid there all night being like, oh my goodness, I cannot sleep. Like I just feel so like icky dirty and I just could not stand it. And I was like, I can't wait till I can get up and shower. And then like the whole rest of the week, I was like, obviously just like, I'm not showering at night. There's no point because I'm just going to be in the filth again. So every night that week, I hardly slept at all, and all I could think of in my mind over and over again is, I can't wait to get clean. Like, that was, like, just in my mind, just can't wait to get clean. And so those showers, even though they were really not great showers and they were cold, were some of my most favorite showers ever taken because it was just, like, this such relief of, like, ah, finally, I feel clean. And today I want us to take a look at what does it mean for us to be cleansed or cleaned by Jesus? And what does that imply for the rest of our lives? And so we're going to be looking in 1 John, starting in verse 5. And we're on our series here, starting in 1 John. So this is 1 John, starting in verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. All right, I'm going to stop right there for you. So what's basically going on here is this, is John, he's comparing Jesus to the light, right? So when it says here, he is the light, Jesus is in the light, we should walk in the light as he is in the light. The light here is really kind of a metaphor for purity, for holiness, for not any sin, not any blemish, not anything wrong. I mean, if you think about it, if you think about pure light, that's kind of what comes to mind. It's kind of this purity of thinking, purity of essence. And so when he's saying that Jesus is the light, That's what he's saying here, is this is purity. There's no darkness. So there's no sin. There's nothing wrong with him. It can't even be in his presence. Light always casts out darkness when it shows up. And so that's kind of the picture that we're getting here, is that Jesus is light. But the interesting thing here is that he also says then if we're going to be with Jesus and there can be no darkness in his presence, then he's saying then you are to walk in the light as Jesus is in the light. And so there's a kind of call here to say then you are to live in the light as well, which is another way of saying then you are to live faultless as well. You are to live kind of perfectly as well. In 1 Peter, it says it this way, we are to be holy as he is holy. And so there's a call to kind of holy, perfect living here that is implied here, that is saying, hey, this is who Jesus is. If you want to be in his presence, then this is what this looks like. And yet, it's interesting because he says all this, but then if you see here, he literally says, if you say you have not sinned, you're a liar. Right? And I mean, even as a kid, I would read this and I'd be like, wait, these don't go together. Like, I can't be perfect in the light with no darkness at all, but also be a liar for saying I don't sin. Like, that doesn't, like, where does this make sense? Right? And I think a lot of times, I mean, I grew up in the church and I've been around so many people and myself where we often just fake it till we make it. And I've listened to so many sermons or some the preacher saying something. I'm like, oh, yeah, I get that in the back of my head. I'm like, I have no idea what he just said. Okay? So I want us to understand this passage because to me, this is one of the most beautiful passages in Scripture if we really understand what's going on here. So I just hope you pay attention to what this passage is saying because it is such a freeing and life-giving message. Because he says, when he says here, he says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So what he's saying here is not actually about you yourself being perfect. See, because when I think about this, about me being perfect, because Jesus is in the light, if I'm going to be in the light and I have to be holy as he is holy, then it's about me being perfect. I can't do it. In fact, like I just said, he says, if you say you can do it, you're a liar and you have no part of God. So it's not actually about you doing it. At which point, half of my life, I would just sit there and be like, okay, then I guess I shouldn't even try, right? Like, it's just over. But that's not what this is calling us to either, because there still is a call to live holy. But it's not about you and it's not about me. It's about Jesus. See, what he says here is, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What that means is he's saying, when you know you've sinned, when you've done something wrong against God, against your fellow human being, and you know you've sinned, he says, confess it to God. Acknowledge it. Give it to him. Say that you've done wrong. Say, God, here it is. This is what I've done wrong. And then what does he do? He forgives you. He cleanses you of all unrighteousness. Right? Well, what does that mean then? That means you're clean. You're forgiven. You're made new. And Paul says in Corinthians, he says, the old is gone, the new is come. He says, we are all new creations in Christ Jesus. This is not just a semantic thing here. This is a reality shift. Okay, so this is the idea. I mean, if you just think about like when I was dirty in the teepee and then I came out and took a shower and all the filth and dirt and everything that I had been sleeping in all night is now gone and I walk out, you better believe I walked out feeling way different than when I had the whole night long. I didn't feel dirty anymore. What this is saying is that when we confess our sins, that Jesus is faithful and he is going to cleanse us of all our sins and all unrighteousness, that he is going to wash us clean and we will be cleansed. You will be different. And what that means is in that moment, when Jesus looks at you, when he sees you, he doesn't see filth, dirt, shame, guilt, sin. He sees pure, holy, clean, righteous. He sees purity. He sees light. He sees someone that he can be intimate with and in relationship with where there is no darkness. Why? Not because you never sinned, but because you've confessed your sin and it's been cleaned and you've been cleansed and you've been made new and you can now stand in full acceptance in holiness before your Lord because you've been cleansed. Now, I'm sure if you've been in the church for any number of years, you've probably heard this before. But I want you to understand here that this should be fundamentally different than for your life. See, because a lot of times I've heard this story even personally, and when I hear this, I'm like, yeah, but you don't know what I did. You don't know what I'm thinking. You don't know what's going on in my life. So you don't know how I feel. And even though I hear that God said that, it's like we feel like, but I can't really be cleansed. I've done too much. I've messed up my life too badly. I have hurt too many people. My sins in my life are too much. Or I am too addicted to this sin to give it up or to stop, and so it just can't be. But that's not these words. Jesus' words don't say, oh, you know what, you're right. If you've been doing that for a while, or if you did that sin, you can't be cleansed. No. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. You have been made new by the power of that is in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You've been forgiven. You've been made holy. As he is holy through the power of his work on the cross. So when you think of yourself through the power of the cross, you can think of yourself as light, as holy, as pure, not because of you, but because of him at work in you and the work that he's done. And that should change the way we think. It should change the way we are. Because of his work, you have been cleansed. And so if there are things that you are holding on to, things that you think in your head, I cannot be cleansed from this. The shame of this is overwhelming me. That is not God's intent for you. It's not what God wants for you. God is saying here in his word, I have died already for you to cleanse you from that, to take that away from you, give it to me, confess it to me, and say to say we're done. Now, the way we do this even is constant confession. Okay? This is why it even says here, if you say you have no sin, you're a liar. Okay? John is very aware here that we're still very human, that we still have human sinful nature within us, and that we are going to sin. So this is really still not about you being sinlessly perfect in all of your actions. What it is saying, every moment that you sin, you decide in that moment, once you come to your senses, I'm going to confess. I'm going to acknowledge to God that this was not right, that I regret my actions, and I want to give it to you, God, and say, I'm sorry that I did this. Would you forgive me? And he's already forgiven you. And so it's a kind of a constant confession. It's not holding anything back. See, I love this picture of the light even that he gives because it reminds me of like, when I was in high school, we used to go camping all the time. We lived in Germany, and we could go camping and have fires and all this time. And I remember one time, there was like probably like 15 of us. So there wasn't like, the fire we had wasn't big enough for like everybody to be in one circle around the fire. So there was like layers of circle around the fire. And I remember I was kind of in the second layer of circle. So I could see everybody, because I was in the second layer, and I could see all their faces, and we were talking, and it became really late, and everybody's talking over the night, and I was just listening to them for a while. I hadn't spoken in a while, but I could see them, and I felt like I was right there with them in this conversation. And then as they were talking, all of a sudden, I kind of interjected into the conversation, like, oh, what about this? And they all went, whoa, what was that? And they were like, because they had no idea I was even there, because they could not see me. Because if you've ever been in a fireplace, excuse me, if you've ever been in a fireplace, if you're in the ring of the light, you can't see past the light. You can't see what's in the darkness. But if you're in that other, like just on the edge of it, you might be in the darkness, but you can see the light. And you can see what's going on. And so for me in that corner, I felt like I could see what was there. I could see what was there. And I felt like I was part of the community that was there, but I really wasn't, because I wasn't in the light like they were in the light. And so when I spoke up, they like freaked out. But what, and I feel like that's a lot of ways like this, is that when we are actually in the light, then you know you're in the light and you're with God and God is with you. But when we're kind of on the edges and we're kind of holding on to our sin and we're not really bringing it to God, we're not confessing it, but we're just kind of like, well, you know, I know God forgives me, but I'm not really willing to let this go, then there's not really, you can't like be in the light or out of the light, or you can't be like halfway or any of this, like you're in or you're out kind of thing as far as the light goes. And so this is a sense here where God is saying, come into the light. Come into the light as I am in the light, and walk with me where you're constantly saying, God, this is what I've done. You can't kind of hold on to the sin going, no, I still want this. That is, in a sense, turning away from the light and saying, I'm going to protect this darkness within me because I want this. But by doing that, we are stepping away from the light so that we can kind of cast, that the light will even kind of cast a shadow for us. We're like, okay, this can exist here. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about coming into the light where there's no room, there's no place for any darkness to hide because we're in the light. We're fully into that place. And so God has forgiven you. He has made you clean. And so when you think of yourself, see, this is the kind of nutshell of all this, is that when you think of yourself, if you are living in constant confession of your sin, where like, what I mean by that is simply this, is every sin that you know that you've committed with your mind, you know you did it, that you've said to God you're sorry, and you've repented of that and said, God, I receive your forgiveness. If you've done that, then you should think of yourself through the grace of God as a holy person, as a person of light, as a person of purity because of God's work on the cross. You should not think of yourself as some low-life sinner who is full of guilt and full of shame and cannot help it, because that's not what God has done for you. He has set you free from the dominion of sin. So the way you think of yourself should be full of light and full of holiness as he is holy because of his work in your life. And that's what this says. You've been cleansed of all unrighteousness. That to me is such a beautiful, beautiful message, because now all of a sudden I have hope. I have hope for my life, because all of a sudden I'm like, wait. If I am cleansed and made clean, then I don't have to hide anymore. I don't have to be ashamed anymore. I can be fully who I am, acknowledging that God has done so many wonderful things for me, and I am made clean and made whole, and I am who I am because of God, and I can stand proudly before you, not as a perfect person, but as a holy person through the power of Christ. And so when somebody would come to you and say, are you holy? Are you living in the light? That you should be able to say, yes, without hesitation. Because this isn't about you, and it's not about me. It's about Jesus. And the fact that he's cleansed you and made you clean, you are a new person. One of the wonderful things about this too is that what the advantage of this is true fellowship, genuine fellowship. Remember, it says here that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we can have fellowship with God and we can have fellowship with one another. The reason for that is this. When you have sin in your life, when I have sin in my life, that I'm ashamed of, that I feel like if you only knew what I was doing, then I never feel like we're really connected. Because even if we're friends, even if you seem to be my best friend, but I have not opened up about the sin in my life, if it has not been confessed, and I feel like it is there in my gut, then even if you like me, I feel like you don't like the real me. Because if you just found out my secret, it would all fall apart. And that's not true fellowship. It's not true community. Because we're always thinking like if the shoe dropped in a moment, everything would be gone. But you know what happens when you have confessed your sin to the Lord and if you need to one another? All of a sudden, all that darkness, all that shame, all that kind of hesitation and wondering if people just found out about me, it all goes away. Because there's no secrets anymore. There's no feeling of like, if they only knew. There is, you know what? I am clean. I am holy as God is holy because of his forgiving power at work in my life. And so I can be the same person here in front of you. I can be the same person at home with my family. I can be the same person at work or anywhere or alone and know that because of God's power, when I confess to him, I am clean. And so I can have relationships with other people that are unfettered and completely like chains broken off. And I can really get to know you and know that if you like me, you like me for who I am, and I am not wondering what would happen if you found out about this. And it opens up relationships. All kinds of relationships, whether that's married or dating or kids or friends or it doesn't matter. All relationships all of a sudden have a truer, deeper sense of fellowship because that darkness is gone. Just like I was saying with the fire, this is also how that works in community. I think a lot of us live on that fringe of the community. Or think we're kind of like in the shadows where we can see the community. We feel like we're part of the community, but we're too scared to come into the light because we're afraid that if we do, you will find out about us and you will reject us. The reality is the opposite. When you live in the light, you receive forgiveness and cleansing and life, and people will come around you that will love you and help you and even encourage you to become more like Christ and more like the person of God that you want to be. And you find a whole different kind of life. Same way with God. When we come before God and we confess it all and say, here we all are and this is everything I am and I'm not hiding anything from you and I'm acknowledging all of my sin, then God can say, great, let's deal with that. You are forgiven and made new and made clean and I will work with you and we will make that change in your life. Even when it comes to habitual sin. Did you know, this is a theological truth here, that when Christ died on the cross, he died once for every sin you've ever committed and every sin you will ever commit. That means that when Jesus was in heaven, before he came down to become a man, he knew that you would suffer and do that same sin over and over and over and over and over and over again. He knew that he still saw you, still loved you, decided to die for you so that you might be forgiven 2,000 times or whatever number that is for that same sin. You've been forgiven. Now the thing here is that why are we saying all this? If we really get this, then as John says here, he says, I tell you this so that you might not sin. But if you do, Christ is there for you. See, the reality here is this is a call to say we are to walk in the light, but not because of some kind of taskmaster like, oh man, if you don't walk in the light, you're in trouble. That's not the tone of this at all. The tone of this is there is a different way of life, one free of guilt, free of shame, free of the bondage of sin. There is a life here that says you can walk in purity and holiness and light because of the work of Jesus. And if you want it, it's yours. And so I'm telling you these things so that you might understand that, yes, you can't say you don't sin, but just acknowledge it to God, receive his cleansing, and you will live a different life. And so when you do sin, just remember these words. If I confess my sin, he is faithful and just and will cleanse me of my sin and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. And I can once again be in the light as he is in light and be holy as he is holy and be pure and know that that is who I am. To me, that's such a beautiful story. And it's life-changing. Because now I know in those moments when I am sinning or even when I'm about to sin, when the temptation comes in and it's there, in my mind is the thought of, you know what? God has made a way for me to walk in the light. And when I'm in the light, I have fellowship with the people around me. I have fellowship with my wife. I have fellowship with God. There's no reason for that shame and that guilt to invade my life. And that thought, that knowledge, that freedom of living in that kind of community and that kind of fellowship and intimacy is enough motivator so many times for me to say, I will not choose into that sin. Because I don't want to have that darkness in my life. I don't want to have that shame or that guilt in my life. And so I can say, no, I'm not going to give in to sin. I'm going to choose Christ. But if you haven't understood that you are cleansed, and if you're not already free from the guilt and the shame, then when the temptation comes, you're already living in shame. So you're more likely to give in. Why? Because that shame is just a part of your life. What I'm telling you today is God said, no, I've made you free. I've made you new. You are completely washed clean. There is no more filth or grime or dirtiness about you. You are pure and holy as I am holy because I did the work for you. And you have accepted it and believed in it and confessed to me. And so you are cleansed of all that you've ever done. And if you do it in 5 minutes and you repent again, you'll be cleansed again. That is who we are. We are holy as He is holy. We are pure as He is pure. We are righteous as He is righteous. Because it's His righteousness. It's His purity. It's His holiness in our lives. This is not some magic formula. Okay? This is not like I'm the pastor, so I get this. I'm just as sinful as anyone in this room. It's God's work. But I can accept it and receive it and live it. And choose to be in the light as He is in the light. To choose to be in relationships with others that are full of light and hope and joy and peace. Or I can choose to hold on to darkness and shame and feel like if you only knew, you wouldn't be my friend. I just want to take a moment to address one specific issue. This applies to any sin, okay? But the statistics about this are just mind-boggling, and this is often something we don't talk about in church, but I'm going to. So we live in a time, in a culture, where pornography and sexual sin is just crazy. The stats are actually mind-boggling. I think it's like something like 1 in 3 people, which means that if you look around this room, there's a lot of people in this room that are probably having real struggle with pornography in this room. If that's not the case, that's great. But it's a reality. The thing with sexual sin and pornography in general, but is that it's one of those that creates more shame than most. It's one that drives us away from people, away from community, to isolate and be ashamed and say, I could never let somebody know about this. The reality is this word today comes directly against that. And it says, look, you have to confess it. You have to acknowledge so that you can be cleansed. When you don't seek help, when you don't acknowledge it, when you don't confess it, then it has more power over you. Because the shame becomes heavier and heavier and heavier. And then community becomes harder and harder to find. Not because people aren't willing to be your friends, but because you think every moment of every day, if you only knew, you wouldn't be my friend. What this word is saying today is, be made clean. And so like I said, this goes for any sin, but I'm just speaking just for this moment because I felt like I was supposed to. If you're struggling with pornography or any kind of sexual sin, acknowledge it. Confess it. Confess it to the Lord. There's also reality here in community that there's power and there's strength when we find somebody to confess with. To say, you know what, you're a safe person. I'm going to let you know that I need to confess that I've been struggling with this. This is an issue in my life. and I don't want it to be anymore. I want to challenge us. Let's do that. And like I said, it's not because I'm saying, oh my goodness, how could you struggle with that? It's sexual sin. It's one of the most addictive things possible since the beginning of time. People have been doing it over and over again. It's not anything new. You're not the only one who struggles with it. Most people do. But the point is not to stay there. And if you've struggled with sexual sin, you'll know that what it does do is it robs you of the purity and the joy of life. It robs you of intimacy with other people. It robs you of good fellowship. It robs you of so much that is here in the light for you to enjoy in fellowship with one another. And so today, if you're sitting there and you're thinking, if you were thinking, yeah, if you just knew in this pastor, maybe that's true for other people, but it's not true for me. I'm telling you specifically for sexual sin and for every other, but for sexual sin, hear me. You are cleansed and made new by the power of God in your life. If you confess your sexual sin to Jesus, he is faithful and just and will forgive it and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. You don't need to be ashamed. You don't need to be guilty. You don't need to be weighed down by it, because he has made you new. He has made you new. So don't live in darkness anymore. Don't stay bound anymore. Confess to God. Confess to a friend. Seek help. But know that it is possible to live in the light as he is in the light. Because he died for you. Because he stands for you. He intercedes for you. He loves you. There is joy and life and true, genuine fellowship awaiting for us if we would but step into the light, confessing all before the Lord and receiving the fullness of his love, mercy, and grace. I don't know about you, but I want to be clean. I'm tired of having lives and days feeling all the yuck and filth that I slept in all night. If you want to be clean, you can be clean. Every moment of every day, just turn to him and receive it. Let's pray.